The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present, and a majlis, a gathering, was taking place, and the noble companions, their jamaat, their congregation, the gathering was present. A group of the sahaba were present, and one of the stars from the skies, one of the sahabi radiallahu anhu, presented a question in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the sahabi requested, put forward the question that and the question that he put forward was that, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the masjid, which masjid, which house of Allah is the best? So the question, if we look at the basis for the question, it's an ajeeb question, unique question. And you can ask a child that which masjid is the best, which is the good masjid. What is the answer you'll get? That where there is good wudu facilities, it's open, large area, nice big building, clean, pure. And when we have all of these sifat, these qualities, and then a person says that, yeah, this is the good masjid. If you ask, where's the best masjid in Bolton? What will we say? We'll say, oh, all of the masjids are good, alhamdulillah, wherever you go. But Masjid Zakariya is the nice masjid, alhamdulillah. Yeah? And they'll say, why Masjid Zakariya? We'll say, for this reason, because there are very good wudu facilities there, you get warm water, and it's a big masjid, the big prayer hall. It's obvious, isn't it? If you ask a child, you say, yeah, the best masjid is this one in Bolton. And the people who've made the masjid in that area. So the basis of the question tells us is that it's not the person who's asking the question. And who is the one who's asking? And whose majlis was this? And who is the one who is giving the answer? So all of this shows that something else is being asked and something else is being explained. We don't understand that. These were those people, the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, that the companion who asked this question, until Qiyamah, the hereafter, that no one can compare to the slippers on the feet of the Sahabi. They had such yaqeen, certainty, strength. And the person who's explaining the answer, that since the world, the universe has been created, no one can compare to the personality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's not an insignificant question. It's short in length, of which is the best masjid. In reality, apparently, he didn't ask from a physical aspect that, can you tell me about the construction of the masjid, or the beauty of the masjid, or the carpet of the masjid, or the decoration and the chandeliers. These are just physical decorations. This does not make a masjid great. What a great message, huh? That through the decorations, or due to the decorations, this is not what makes them. There's something else that's being asked. Something else. So in reality, that we don't look at the decoration. We look at the reality of the masjid from within. That how does a masjid become a place of greatness and the best? What is the reality of the masjid that has that status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's what we need to understand. And the reality is hidden from our eyesight. Yes, it's hidden. It's not visible. But alhamdulillah, if yaqeen comes into our life, then there's nothing more apparent than the fact, isn't it? We can't see Allah. We cannot see paradise. We cannot see hellfire. But if yaqeen increases, then alhamdulillah, it's better than seeing. It's better than seeing. Isn't it? If the reality of deen comes into thought, the stronger a person's heart is and iman is, then he'll be saved from hellfire. He hasn't seen, and there's somebody else who's not saved, who's not saving himself, and he's running into hellfire. And the other one who's saved and he's crying in the night, Allah save me from the adab of hellfire. So is it that he's seen and the other person hasn't seen? No. Both are in the same. Do you understand what I'm saying? Has he seen Jannah and the other hasn't seen Jannah? No, both haven't seen. So what has caused that person to tremble that he wants to be saved from Jahannam? What's caused the other person to run towards hellfire, and he's playing with hellfire? The difference is in yaqeen. That his yaqeen, alhamdulillah, has got to that stage that Allah Ta'ala has said, and this is the case. And then he has recognized his Lord that this is what will happen. So let's do dua to Allah that Allah Ta'ala gives us this yaqeen. Ameen. Because if we don't have this yaqeen, then we cannot step one forward towards the akhirah. One step. We cannot go forward one step towards the akhirah. That if, for example, we play in this life a game, and we don't take life seriously, that's why Allah Ta'ala says becomes lahu walahab. That if a person's yaqeen decreases and disappears, that for example it's only yaqeen that will save us, and the status of yaqeen, certainty, we need to understand that. So what I said here is until qiyamah no human being can compare to the dust on the slipper of a sahabi. So this sahabi had yaqeen, strength of yaqeen, and how did he put forward this question? What's the best masjid? Which is the greatest masjid? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he is asking the reality. What is the role of the masjid for a person's life and for us all? What is it that makes a masjid brilliant and best? And today, inshallah, this secret or this answer will be discussed, alhamdulillah. And after hearing, what is left then for insan is yaqeen, certainty. You are listening, I am listening, 1400 years people are listening to these words. Those who had yaqeen, they suddenly put forward their steps towards that. And they started to go towards that masjid about which Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this is the best or the biggest or the best of masjids. Now we know three masjids. They are famous: Masjidul Haram, the Kaaba, Baytullah. We have Masjid al-Nabawi, and we have Baytul Maqdis. And we hasten to these masjids, and Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have said that these are the greatest masjids, and they knew. So why did they need to ask the question then, that what is the best of all masjids? So what's the reason behind the question? Was it in construction, in the solidity of the walls, or the beauty of the building? And if we ask, everyone will say it's the Kaaba. And after that, Masjid Nabawi. And then Baytul Maqdis. So this is in hadith, this is proven. So what's the basis for the question? Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. What a beautiful hadith. And we come, we sit in the masjid, we say this masjid's big, that masjid's big, there are decorations or there are facilities or there are resources, Subhanallah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and whatever Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if he says that a masjid is afzal, better, then should people not hasten to that masjid or run to that masjid, isn't it? Shouldn't they? How they should have love for that masjid, regard for that masjid, shouldn't they? And those who don't have this, they have no yaqeen. They have no yaqeen. So there's no benefit. They don't have yaqeen. They don't have something. Allah's Nabi is also, they don't have yaqeen on this. Just like, for example, you have gone and there's a mango or an apple in front of us, or a mango or a melon. And we go and say, oh, please give me, which melon is the sweet one? We say to Zah, he says, this one's sweet. And you take this one, it's sweet. Now, if another individual is standing, then he's buying melons as well. When he hears that other person say, the seller say, this is sweet, and he buys it, the other one's standing there thinking, until I don't taste a piece of it and eat it or don't see it, he's watching. And the other person, he buys the melon and he's departed. The difference is that the second person had yaqeen, certainty in the words of the seller, that when he says something, he will never lie. If he said it, then this melon will be sweet. And the other person went into doubt. When he went into doubt, he continued his doubt, and then he lost out from the benefits of the melon. So when Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his amal, his action comes in front of us, then look at the difference in the ummah. That somebody embraces the action. Oh, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this. Such a great statement. Oh, then it's kamal. Then the secret's been told to us. And my life's made. Because now I know what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. And his life is made. And the person, those people who are listening, used to listening, and then they yawn a few times. Then they're thinking, I don't know what I heard. Should I do it? Should I practice it or not? But when something is written, inscribed, and that's why I am telling you the reality here, the truth, that most big sinful people who became pious people after, with high status, with which amal, that they heard one hadith in whilst walking or traveling, they said, Subhanallah, Rasulullah said this, and they straight away did amal on that hadith, and they said, I do tawbah, I repent. Subhanallah, because the message has come to us that this, Rasulullah said this, I'm doing this, and they stay there, and that sinful person, the person who may be an alcoholic, and Allah Ta'ala give him the tawfiq to do tawbah. He said, if Rasulullah said this, and I'm doing this amal, I'm opposite to this. No, I need to do tawbah, I repent. Allah Ta'ala then gave him the high grade. So may Allah Ta'ala create this passion within us. We listen so much. Let's not become numb in listening. Rather, let's hope that Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to practice. So what's the hadith here? What was the question? Let's go back to the hadith. So, فَأَيُّ الْخَيْرَ الْمَسْجِدَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ Tell us please, which masjid is the best of masjids? Now comes the answer. Yeah, it doesn't take long. It didn't take long for Rasulullah to give the answer. He didn't have to think for so long. Because whatever was mentioned by the blessed statement and answer of Rasulullah, then it's said, it's been told. What did the Quran say? That my Mahbub doesn't speak of his own accord. Rather, it's Allah who tells him what to say. Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. So that's it. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him the answer to the Sahabi that you've asked, which is the best of masjid. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Qala. Aktharu dhikr, Subhanallah. That in which masjid, if Allah Ta'ala's dhikr is done kathira, in high quantity, that is the best of masjids. Yes, you can take the hadith and read it for yourself. Aktharuhum dhikrullah. In this, whichever masjid, the dhikr of Allah is performed actively, in regularly, consistently, that is the best of masjids, the best of the houses of Allah. And the Sahabi said, that's it, this is the case. This is the definition of the great masjid or the best masjid. So what do we realize? That it doesn't matter how big the masjid is, if the dhikr of Allah is not happening in that masjid, there's no value. But if there's a broken down, I remember now the khanqah of my Shaykh Hazrat Sahib, maybe it wasn't that clean, dusty, or the breeze of the environment would bring the dust there, isn't it? Because you know, in the villages, people would throw rubbish in a certain place, and then that rubbish would get blown away. And outside the khanqah, people would throw the rubbish. Hazrat Sahib came, and Hazrat Sahib said to his friends, that remove this dirt from here, this garbage from here, clean this area, the environment around the khanqah, put some soil down, and then put the walls out to the sides, so the contamination come, and we'll pray salah here. And so that place I saw myself with my own eyes. And there were two colleagues of ours, they got together, they started to throw the rubbish away. Alhamdulillah, that raw soil, they threw some water on there, it became moist, and they leveled out the soil. And then Hazrat's prayer mat was put there, Subhanallah. And then the dhikr of Allah began there, in that same place. And I was born spiritually from that location. I'm sat in front of you here. And on that soil I learned the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. And many khulafa of Hazrat Sahib's graduated from there, emanated from there, and are doing the work of the deen now. And today, same piece of soil is present. Allah said, Hazrat Sahib said, leave this place like this. Don't change it. So what did Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? That the best of masjids is that masjid where the dhikr of Allah is performed. So what is that masjid in which there are lights, decorations, ornaments, carpets, and there's no dhikr of Allah? So it's been mentioned that this is the maqsad of the masjid, subhanAllah. That how do you make the masjid abad? With that noor of dhikr, with the light of dhikr. Is this a minor thing? Is this a small thing? Now we are sat in the dhikr of Allah, and the public, they make the masjid abad when, for example, there are a lot of people gathered, remember Allah, when there's no space free. But we say, no problem, you have so much space behind you and it's just us sat here. No, this is not the point. Because Rasulullah ﷺ told us the reality. So let's go towards the hadith again. That whatever Rasulullah ﷺ has stated clearly, because we cannot see who is present, not present, but we know the haqiqah due to iman, we have recognized the reality. And so much yakin we have, the person he cannot see with his eyes. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that when a person is sitting in the masjid and doing the dhikr of Allah, then the distance between the heavens and the earth is filled, the gap is filled with the angels. So in this masjid, on the night of Jummah, how much rush there must be, how much hujum of angels around us. So many angels between the heavens, the skies and the earth where we're sitting. And where there are angels, will there be darkness, dhulamat, oppression? No, subhanAllah, the light and noor, the rays of noor will be emanating from this gathering. At this moment in time, if we look from afar down at the earth, this small jamaat of people are doing the dhikr of Allah according to the hadith on this piece of soil. Wherever dhikr is happening, it's happening. And this moment, and this is the best masjid. And not due to us, not due to us individuals, but due to the action which is the dhikr of Allah that's being performed, done. It's not due to the building, the construction, the carpet, the lushness of the carpet. It's due to the action that's happening inside the masjid, which is the dhikr of Allah. So that's why this is the best of places, the dhikr of Allah. In other words, Allah Ta'ala has made His home full of people remembering Him. And Allah Ta'ala has given, and then Rasulullah said another thing to the Sahabi. Subhanallah. Then Rasulullah said that also, listen, this is another point to hear. And the Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, okay, fine, I've understood. The best of masjid is that place where the dhikr of Allah is done. But what is the best of funerals? Say, Subhanallah, I am going to die, you are going to die, we are all going to die. We see others dying daily, regularly, we bury them. Can anyone say, a human being, that who is the best of people who died, whose was the best funeral? But who can tell us? Imam al-Anbiya, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can define that whose janazah is the best. Until Qiyamah, Rasulullah has guided us and told us that if you want to see who is the best of deceased people, don't look at the gathering, don't look at the number of thousands of people at the funeral, don't look at his fame, don't look at his popularity, don't look at his wealth, don't look at the people who are behind that person praying there or following him afterwards. What I tell you, said Rasulullah, look at that point in that person's life, his janazah will be the best. Subhanallah. So he was asked, the Sahabi asked, Ya Rasulullah, please tell us, whose janazah will be the best of janazah? And Rasulullah said, Fayyul janazul khair, that which janazah is the best? Which one? Who's the best of deceased people who's died? What is the secret? Ya Rasulullah, please tell us. And look at what the answer that was attained and what answer was given. Rasulullah said, Qala, Subhanallah, Qala, dhikrahum, aktharhum dhikrahum. That individual, his janazah, he's the best of deceased people, he's the best person who died, who did dhikr of Allah in high quantity, regularly, consistently when he was alive. Subhanallah. So do you want to die at good death? Who's got the best death? Do you want the best death or do you want a bad death and just struggle in the soil? Tell me, what a beautiful answer, that the person who's died or who's about to die, the person who does the dhikr the most regularly, his janazah will be the best funeral. His funeral will be the best. Ah, enjoyment. And then the third question on a roll here. So the Sahabi, this is the same companion asking, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so who is the best haji? Who's performed the best hajj? There are many hajis who come, do hajj. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the same answer. That the best haji, the one who does the dhikr regularly, consistently, kathiran, he is the best haji or she's the best haji. So masjid is the greatest, is the masjid where the dhikr is performed. That person who's died is the best, who does dhikr regularly. And the haji, the best person performing hajj, is the person who remembers Allah most often. And the fourth question, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that who is the best person who is remembered? For example, when a person's ill, people go to visit him, iyadat, to go and look after the ill person or visit. Who is the best person to visit? We go to visit big people, big shots. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, opened the pathway for us. Subhanallah, beautiful pathway. What? That the best who is remembered or visited, who is that person who is right, who has the right, that person who does the dhikr of Allah kathiran, in abundance. And if you serve a person who is a dhakir, who remembers Allah abundantly, you serve that person, help that person, visit that person, then you're serving the best of people. And you're serving the best of individuals and human beings. Who is telling us these answers? These answers, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu is the narrator. Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said that when this hadith was heard, then he gave his comments. He said, if this is the case, then Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, the person who does the dhikr of Allah, all of the goodness he has gathered together and gone, there's nothing left. The dhakireen have taken all of the benefits and the booty. So brothers, after hearing this hadith, can there be anyone left who doesn't understand the greatness of the dhikr of Allah? Can anyone consider dhikr as a minor action or be lazy in dhikr? Or think that dhikr doesn't give us benefit? Or think that dhikr, oh, is not going to give us anything? In reality is this, is that place, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us that if you want to select that masjid, select that masjid where the dhikr of Allah is performed. Don't look, is there a building? Is it easy to do wudu here? No, look, even if it's a dusty piece of soil, broken, crumbling walls. You go to India, Pakistan, and you go to big Islamabad, there's a big masjid. I haven't seen it, I've heard it's a very big masjid. And Janabi Allah, after Fajr, when you go there, and there's just one row, maybe you go to Badshahi Masjid, you'll only get half a row at Fajr time. The bigger the masjid, the fewer the musallis in the masjid. And this is what you'll see there, subhanallah. But go to a dusty, soily piece of earth in the masjid. When we used to do the maraqba in Hazrat Khanka, the best time of maraqba was with Hazrat Sahib in the morning. And it wasn't a little amount of time. It was one and a half hours, 2 hours. We used to pray Fajr a bit early and do maraqabah, 1.5, 2 hours. It was severely cold. Big masjids are there. Big masjids were there. But Hazrat's masjid was what? It was tart. You know, like you have a sack. And a sack was hung in the doorway so that the wind, the breeze cannot come in. So the sack cloth was blocking the entrance so that the breeze wouldn't come in. And it was a straw mat, you know, chatai, straw mat, broken straw mat, instead of carpet, straw mat. And they were mud windows with cracks, and the breeze would come in, so the cold wind would come in, and we'd have blankets wrapped around us or sheets wrapped around us, and there'd be an oil lamp lit. Sometimes there'd be a light, sometimes not. And alhamdulillah, that masjid was full, the hall was full. Not one person would be left with space to sit down openly. And we used to be stuck there, and Hazrat would pray salah, turn around, and then straight immersed into maraqabah. And the eyes would open at that time when the light would come through the cracks, and we'd see the sun is rising. And we know that it's Ishraq time. Subhanallah, tell me, so whose selection is this? Whose selection? People said to me, why do you go to that masjid? There was dirt there, or dust, and there's a dirty stream passing by outside. And there are places, it was a place like this. But Allah Ta'ala selects in such a way that only that person will come, subhanallah, who doesn't worry about the smell of the dirty stream, as he'll smell the fragrance of the environment. Beautiful environment. So brothers, so they said, why are you going there? There were masjids, big masjid in our area, in our village. And you're leaving those big masjids and going to that place, the Khanka. What's the benefit? And today I've realized the benefit, that due to the nisbah, the connection of that Khanka, me and you today are sitting and doing the dhikr of Allah. Tell me. Today the barakat of that place that was so cool, not nice for the people. Because Allah Ta'ala said, select that masjid where kathiran dhikr is taking place. Then don't run away from there. Pray Fajr there. Pray Fajr where? For example, you have a guest. And he's Ahle Dil. So what do you say? Oh, that's the big masjid. Let me go and show you that masjid. What should you say? No, let me take you to the masjid. Alhamdulillah. And that masjid is the best where the dhikr of Allah is being performed. And how lost are those people that after they hear and the heart splits, where people say, oh, that the dhikr of Allah will not take place here. They don't give permission. They say, we cannot allow dhikr to take place here. We won't allow the majlis to come. And they make that masjid like the wilderness. The Quran has stated this, the Quran, that you are stopping, preventing people from doing dhikr in the masjid. You are spoiling the masjid. You are trying to take and expel masjid out of the dhikr out of the masjid. Allah gives that punishment. Allah Ta'ala said that the busyness and the noor in a masjid is due to dhikr. And wherever dhikr is taking place, and you'll see that the great walis of Allah have passed away, the darvish, the pious predecessors, that they used to pray salah on the straw mat, and they used to do dhikr there. And look, Imamul Anbiya, we look at Masjid Nabawi today, when this hadith was being recited at that time, Rasulullah was sat, that there was no construction there, solid walls. The hal of the masjid was such, subhanallah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, master of the two worlds, when the rain would drop, then the wet soil would stick to the forehead of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And look at the sahaba ikram, the mud and the soil would come into their body. But can anyone compare to the Masjid Nabawi? That is stated that where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is laying in his grave, that soil touching his blessed body is greater than the arsh. So my brothers, the hadith tells us that don't look at the external decorations and glowing lights and ornaments and decorations. Look at the reality of the noor and the spirituality and the blessings in the environment. And seek that, otherwise you will be lost in zahir, in apparent and in the external things. Look at the innermost and the reality of the quality of what we are. So when Rasulullah gives us advice, then don't destroy that with our thoughts and opinions. That for example, if we're getting a veem thing, that we're doing amal on a sunnah, and we're practicing an action, then don't spoil it and mix it with raya and showing off and pride. Hey, I'll give you a beautiful point, unique point. That when such a statement is shared and is proven from hadith, that the amal that Rasulullah has prescribed to us. And if we should not practice that deed with riya, if Allah has given us tawfiq to do nafil or practicing sunnah, don't contaminate it with riya, showing others pride. So what does this mean? That people think, ajeeb, and it's surprising to know this, that for example, I felt this, I was surprised, that if the doctor says to us that you have, or if you got a cold, and after you get a cold, doctor says that, does he say cut the nose off? Does he say about the cold? What does he say? He says cure the cold, cure it, isn't it? For example, if a heart pain in my heart, if there's a pain in my hand, will the doctor say cut off the hand? If I've got a stomach pain, will the doctor say cut the stomach out? No, he will say that cure the stomach, remedy it. So when we talk about riya, then the pious predecessors have said that the amal that don't do this action with riya, that does not mean that stop doing that amal, that stop practicing that deed. Don't cut off that amal, cut off the riya, cut off the showing off, the pride. Why do you stop doing that deed? Why do you take your lungis off? Why do you take off your imamas? Why do you stop doing those actions? Because Allah Ta'ala's gift that He's given this to us, that He's given us sunnah. But no, eliminate riya. When you're doing an amal, a deed, and you got the tawfiq to practice the sunnah, Allah gives the tawfiq to practice a deed. It's a great result. So what do we need to save ourselves from? What do we need to do? See, protect from riya. That when we do that amal, that for example, Allah has given us the tawfiq to do an action, then three things we need to be careful about. That don't finish off the amal. Can keep that amal in existing and do it with desire and passion, but save yourself from riya, from showing off. That when you're doing that amal, when you're doing that deed, then at that time your intent should be totally. Now not that I want to do this to show people. This should not be your niyyah. Waswasa, let the waswasas come. Let the whispering come, because there's a difference between waswasa and niyyah. In the difference between waswasa, whispering of shaitan, and niyyah is that shaitan wants to take the amal away from you. And you, if you let stop doing the amal, then you've let shaitan win. But what you want to do is that you want to make niyyah, that I want to do this deed properly. So don't think that when I do this deed, people will be happy. Don't let this deed come, when I do this deed, people will praise me. I am pious now. I'm a wali, and my face is full of noor, and I'm good, and I'm doing amal on such a big sunnah. No, don't seek the recognition from people. In no way should you feel the happiness for this, that people are praising me. No. Don't even think this. Don't. This is the tawfiq of Allah. What's the answer we'll give? That this is the fadl of Allah. Don't think that I'm doing good deed, people are praising me, I'm good, I'm pious. No. Rather say, Allah, I submit, I bow with humility. You give me the tawfiq to do this deed, and you won't have riya. You won't be showing off. The third point, that don't, for example, say that I'm doing this amal and he doesn't have the tawfiq to do it, I'm better than him, and I'm great now, and I start thinking myself as a wali, I'm pious, I'm doing this and that, and these many people, they're not doing amal, and I've started doing this amal. This is not good either. So here, what we realize, there are three things we need to eliminate. Not the amal. Not the amal. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Don't eliminate the amal, because Allah has given us the amal. So protect the amal. Yes, and be careful of another thing. Allah has given us fadal. Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to do dhikr. So shaitan will come. Oh, that you're doing dhikr in a gathering, you're doing tasbih. People, what will they say? They'll hear it. Doesn't matter what people say. Allah's not saying anything to me, is he? I'm not doing this dhikr tasbih to show people, am I? Whether they're happy or not, I'm doing this for Allah. What difference does it make to me whether people say or not? So then riya will not come, pride will not come. But if you are showing to people, ah, mashallah, they're looking at me, I'm doing dhikr of Allah, so people call me dhakir. No, that's when it becomes riya. And pride is showing off. So if waswasa is coming, don't worry about waswasa. What will people think you are? Shaitan is trying to put you off. Consider, I'm not thinking about this waswasa. I don't have this intention, because my success is based on intention. My intention is not to show people, seek recognition, seek fame. I'm doing amal on the sunnah, and to do amal on the sunnah is a great maqam. Allah has given me the tawfiq, so I practice the sunnah. And this should be the niyyah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So amal, you don't finish the amal. The Allah Ta'ala has given us tawfiq to do the amal. Don't cease doing the action. Keep it jari, continuous. Tomorrow's Jummah, come in the same way, like you used to come before. Yes? So otherwise shaitan has won. He's won the game. So this is the point, that when the sickness comes, eliminate the sickness. So the dhikr of Allah. So you can see now what a great hadith. Alhamdulillah. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he said a great point, that all the khair, goodness, have been looted by the dhakireen. They've wrapped it up and taken it. In other words, successful people are those people. The deceased person, he's most successful, is the one who does the dhikr of Allah. Best haji is that person who does the dhikr of Allah. And best masjids are those where dhikr of Allah is performed in those masjids. So what we realize is that everything in the world is the best if it's connected with the dhikr, with the remembrance of Allah. Now we see that if I want to become the best human being, there are many ways.
out, get this degree, recognition, get this building, I'm a politician, I'm a minister, MP, M&A, I run a shop, businesses, money flowing in, people respecting my children. Because there's a weak point for every human being. What is izzat? Respect, so-called, is a weak point. A person tries so hard that I want people to respect me. Oh, you're disrespecting me? Dishonoring me if son does something? Oh, you're disrespecting me in front of other people. You'll do this to me, that to me. And we're all worried about our image. Our outward image, a weak point of human being. And we should just look at one thing, that izzah, respect, is that which when Allah calls someone, gives someone respect. Human beings don't give respect, they burn. Then we, if they praise you, MashaAllah, Chaudhry Sahib, and your children, consider he's speaking rubbish, he's burning inside. No, respect is given by whom? Allah says that I give respect, and respect comes from Allah. And how will we get that? When will we get that? When will we become elevated people? When will we get respect and become honored people? That if we want to honor in front of the people of the world, forget that, don't seek that. But when we die, then it will be shown, the angels will descend from the heavens to receive you. And what will say, what did I do to get this treatment? They'll say, you were respectful. Allah said in the Quran, that those who do the dhikr of Allah in kathira, in abundance, they are the most respectful in the eyes of Allah. Subhanallah. Addallahu ajran azeema. Allah says that he who does dhikr of Allah, those women and men who do dhikr kathira, Allah says, addallahu ajran azeema. I have set aside and prepared great rewards. So brothers, don't waste time. You're not wasting time. MashaAllah, you sit in dhikr, you come to the gathering. Don't think you're wasting time morning and evening. The more you do dhikr, the greater your status will become. The more elevated you'll become. My Hazrat said a beautiful point. He told me, he said, Faruqi Sahib, I'd like to tell you something beneficial. I said, please, please tell me. Hazrat Sahib said to me that, look, I will explain to you that the way that you elevate Allah's name, the way that same way Allah will elevate you. Subhanallah. So, balandi, elevation comes with the name of Allah. The more you elevate the name of Allah, the more you put the name of Allah in people's hearts, even if you get rebuked from people, you go to people, to their homes, you go to other places, to houses of Allah, to teach people the dhikr of Allah, His name, then don't worry, Allah will elevate you. Call people to dhikr, invite them, push them, and give people the ability to listen to Allah's dhikr. That, for example, it's not in our capacity, we can go out and give speeches and tell people, we have our homes, and we have our wives and our children, and we have our families, and we should put the receiver system in our homes with the mic, the radio system, which then this dhikr gathering is transmitted to the receiver. And I'll give you this reward, oh child, if you do dhikr, I'll give you this much money, I'll give you this many toffees, I'll give you sweets. Many homes I've seen, alhamdulillah, people do like this, they encourage the children, then the children become ashiks. Many children I've seen, alhamdulillah, young children, they say, I want to see Hazrat Sahib, I want to see Hazrat Sahib. In those homes, they say that. So we don't make effort, we don't strive. And you are elevating Allah's name, and Allah's promise is there, that if you elevate my name, I will elevate you. I will uplift you. So will we do this, my brothers, or not? That's it, that's all we have to do. Make a bit of effort. Please tell your wife, give her some incentive. You have to make her start in something, you know, not by fighting, quarreling. This is Allah's name. And allow the love of Allah's name to come to the hearts. Inshallah, 3 weeks later, she will say herself that I also want to do dhikr of Allah. That's it. This is how much effect there is in the dhikr of Allah. So in our homes, there are arguments, fighting, fasad. I swear by Allah, all of this will go away. All of this. Love will increase. But don't have, you can say, bughz or opposition with the wali of Allah. Don't create negative points in your minds. Allah's name is a great deed. The whole of the universe is existent due to the name of Allah. Humanity is existent due to the name of Allah. So this will become the best home where the dhikr of Allah is performed. This is a hadith. That in that home where the dhikr of Allah is performed, that home is seen as a glowing star or the sun for the inhabitants of the heavens, the angels. And if when you leave your home and you say that you also have to hear dhikr, and you put the mic, the transmission system there, the receiver system, they'll sit at home and listen to dhikr, then at least the kharafat, the bad actions will stop for the tuta, the noises that take place at home. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will elevate that home and increase the dhikr of Allah in that home, because they are temporary things. And when the light and the blessings of dhikr come out and the melody of the dhikr comes out, then it overwhelms the heart of the individual, the human who's doing dhikr, and he's overjoyed. I saw a home, it was you can say misled and diverted away from the deen, off the tracks, off the rails, just like the man of the house and the family were off the tracks, and he didn't know me or recognize me, totally not. And once whilst we were walking, I was walking, there was salam, dua, and somebody introduced me to that person. He said that dhikr of Allah, he hosts the dhikr in Masjid Zakaria. He said, is it? He said, okay. He said that, listen to it sometime. He said, yeah, I'll listen sometime. I said, okay, let me speak as well. I said that, listen, I've seen you for the first time. Just once in your home, listen with your children. What difference will it make? And it came to his heart. He said, okay, fair enough. You've said it today. I will put it on. I'll put it on today. The receiver system, he didn't pray salah. His children didn't know about salah. I'm telling you the truth. وَلَا ذِكَرَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. And why do you hesitate in giving da'wah to people? Invite them. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, I swear by Allah and I say this, that from that day when he heard dhikr, he tuned in. The next day he was looking for me. He came and he said, Hazrat, amazing, subhanallah. In his eyes there were tears. He said, dhikr, I heard your dhikr yesterday. Forget the children. All of us were crying in that dhikr. Subhanallah. I promise that I won't shave or cut my beard. I won't leave salah. For the fadl of Allah, he started to raise salah, that man and that brother, and he became a dhakir. And between that day and now, many years have passed. Alhamdulillah. His children are ashiks, young children. And he says, the children said, please introduce us to Hazrat Sahab. They used to wait in the path. And the children, his sons, daughters, young little children, they were waiting to meet me. And then it continued into different homes. And alhamdulillah, the action has spread out so much. And I'm telling you, an event in Bolton, in our own town. SubhanAllah. So those people who made effort, and those people who have made this prevail and spread, may Allah allow His rahmah and mercies to come into their homes, mashallah. Those who have worked hard on the dhikr of Allah, in which there's our Idris sahib, our Mulana sahib, Mulana Mubarak sahib, they have struggled a lot, made a lot of effort to spread the word. Mulana Mubarak sahib gives targheeb to people that dhikr is here, dhikr should be done here regularly. In Idris sahib was given targheeb. So both these brothers have joined together and made effort so dhikr can be performed. Look at the work of the deen they've done. But what is the point? That we don't know about that, but in reality, the reward they will get, they will realize in the hereafter when the rewards are unraveled. Unravel. So whenever you start doing a good deed, don't think that, I won't get the reward, I won't get the ajr. Allah will give the ajr, most definitely Allah will give the rewards. So do you understand what I'm saying? Which masjid will you come to most? In which the dhikr of Allah is done. Every salah, maghrib time, where's dhikr happening at this moment in time? It's not necessary you sit in the whole gathering of dhikr. If you just fulfill the hadith, that Allah Ta'ala will be so happy that He has so much yaqeen in me. At least my salah will become afzal in that masjid. Yes, that you do a deed, that you cannot sit in the dhikr of Allah. But if you come with this niyyah, that at this moment in time, the best masjid is that masjid where the dhikr of Allah is being done. And the best salah will be in that place. My salah will be accepted there. I don't know what rahmas and mercies of Allah will come there. That if I pray salah, at least that's good enough. That if I don't sit in the dhikr of Allah, at least we can do this, can't we? You have cars and your vehicles like tomorrow. If you think that tomorrow, where will we pray Maghrib Salah tomorrow? Yes? So what do we have to think? What is your basis? That in Bolton, where dhikr is being performed, we'll go to that masjid. Many things happen at that time. But what do you need to think? That where dhikr is being performed, well, we're going to pray a salah in that masjid. That's it, just pray salah there. You don't have to continue from there. Even that will become a great association. That Allah's Nabi says, you heard His words, you accept it. Because when dhikr is done here, that's the best masjid. If you get tawfiq, sit there 5 minutes, 10 minutes. If you don't, then pray salah, do dua, say Allah was here, I could come, I came, I have something to do now. Allah give me an opportunity tomorrow that I don't get diverted due to work, and I'll sit and do dhikr here as well. So with Allah, learn how to travel with Allah and make friendship with Allah, and everything will become easy for us. Today there will be so many people who say, no yaar, I can't stay on Thursday evenings, it's too difficult for me. And there will be many people from amongst you here. And so where did they come from? They came from Liverpool, they work. And have you seen them before? But Allah Ta'ala selected somebody, he's sitting here. Allah Ta'ala selected, and He selected, I want to sit on Mondays and Thursdays. And he's regular, alhamdulillah. So this is Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercies. That how many come from Blackburn? How many people have come from Blackburn? Who has brought them? Who's invited them? Tell me. So they have passion, desire. This is a great action. Allah Ta'ala has brought them to the gathering. So now they come in such a way as if they come and go. They're not tired. They don't realize they've made a routine. Allah has made a routine for them. SubhanAllah. So you live in Bolton, my friends, and think. Learn a lesson from these brothers who've traveled. Tell me. So how can we compete with them? We should compare, and we have to make a sacrifice and make effort. So we live in Bolton. Dhikr is on our doorstep. Let's lower our nafs and takabbur and ego and shaitaniyat thoughts. And wherever Allah's hadith, Rasulullah is telling us the fazilat, and we are stubborn. Are we not going to die? When we die, then Allah will say, did I not tell you that the best janazah, the best death is that person's death who is a dhakir? And you used to fast and have takabbur. And did this word not get to you? Think yourself, will you not have to answer? That this caused with you health. Without any reason you were fussing. Without any genuine reason. No, I won't go there. It's too far. I'll sit at home. Servant of Allah. Do you know when death is going to come? We could die any time. So look, what an easy, simple path. The best maut, the best death, the best janazah, best funeral. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, the master of the two worlds, that the best death, the best maut, best janazah, if Rasulullah is saying, he's not saying about the human being. Imagine the angels that are descending from the skies to that janazah, and how that deceased person would be welcoming the individual who's died. The Rasulullah says that this is the best janazah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. We'll do dhikr, won't we? Yes, inshallah. So, oh brothers of Bolton, make a firm intention that when salah time comes, you'll think, is it dhikr time now? Okay, I'm going to pray salah because the gathering is after salah. And the rest, pulling towards the gathering is my job. Just come to salah. And that's it. May Allah give tawfiq. Ameen.